Wish to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we thank you for your grace, Father, that has appeared to us, Father. Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Father, to give you the glory and honor in all things. That you would forgive our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us, Father. Lord, that your will would be done for your kingdom and your glory and your honor. Lord, we just ask for wisdom as we open your word and as we live our lives, that we might be proper vessels for thee, O Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us walk humbly before you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to turn this morning to the book of John. John chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now I want to turn over to John chapter 15. Verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father hath made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I want to turn to Romans chapter 3. Verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, Thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who hath taken vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed destruction, or shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk this morning primarily about pride. And I also want to bring in here these things that we've just read and how these, for us to remember where we came from and what we are and who we are. This modern gospel, the modern evangelical doctrine, teaches that we're just all sinners and there's none seeks after God. And so they just throw their hands up and say, that's just what we are, that's just what we'll be, and Jesus died so that He'll just take care of everything. We just believe He died and He rose again, and then we will be saved. Whenever you read these verses, it says, gives this list and these things of how men act and what is in their heart. You could easily build a case about that when you just look at society and man. But when you read what Jesus taught and what Paul goes on to say, God did not leave us in that state. He came to redeem us from that state. Man, without God intervening in his life, is just like what we described here. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is man without God. That is man without the grace of God intervening in his life. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. It's been abused terribly, but it's still a blessing, the message that it carries. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fear relieved. Grace showed me what I could do to get out of this situation, that I could turn from this. Grace that teaches our hearts to fear. fear, we try to avoid that in our lives whenever it becomes real personal. But it is a good thing. Fear teaches us that we need to do something about a danger that's coming our way. The proper fear. The world is trying to scare themselves so they can get a thrill out of fear. But there's no wisdom in that. The fear that God brings, the fear that they're confusing fear with the fear of God with the fear of some grossly exaggerated dead man walking around in the grave, walking around from the grave, come out of the grave. They're trying to put those two fears together, and they're not the same fear. The fear of God causes us to rise up and do something wise and to look after wisdom. The Bible says it's the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. And people, the modern church is trying to put the fear of God with something like you'd be scared from a monster and you'd run from it. That's not the kind of fear of God that God is trying to teach us. God is trying to teach us the fear of God that causes us to change our lives. And it's grace that teaches our hearts to fear. Whenever we've done something wrong and that little bit of fear rises up in our heart that, oh, I've done something wrong. What's God going to do with me? That's the grace of God. And the grace of God gives you an answer for what you need to do. You need to repent from that and turn from it. It's the grace of God that gives that to us. And that does not come from yourself. It does not come from you. The way you live, if you live right at all, does not come, that desire to live that way does not come from you. That desire to live right is because God is intervening in your life. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask the Father in my name, he may give you. While there is nothing that seeks after God in our own being, we still have a choice and a capability and a responsibility to respond to that call of God in our life. That should not build pride in the way we live. That should humbly submit ourselves to God, that He had mercy upon us in our dark state, in our darkness, when we open our mouth and it's an open sepulchre of unrighteousness. Whenever we're left to ourselves, we just do whatever we want. Our feet are quick to shed blood. We're full of anger and wrath and malice. Just wanting to get even. That's what's in our heart. And that is common to man. But God's grace steps in and shows us where we're wrong. God's grace causes us to fear. God's grace causes us to have to make a decision to whether we want to continue in that state or we want to change. That's the blessing. That's the amazing grace that we should rejoice about. And we should thank God for our terrible peril of what we were in, and the opportunity to get out of it. That's the grace of God. That's the wonderful gift that God has given His Son, that He would send His Son down among us to teach us how to live and how to do what's right. Where it breaks down in the evangelical movement is God didn't intend to leave us there and just whitewash it and just cover it over. God gives us the responsibility to respond to that with a humble heart to do what's right. A humble heart to make a choice to whether I'm going to follow this graceful, merciful God that's given me another opportunity to follow Him, or whether I'm going to continue in my rebellion. Sometimes we get to looking at ourselves and we get to thinking we're doing pretty good. One of the songs that has always stuck out in my mind is "Remind Me, Lord. Roll back the pages of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember I'm human and humans forget. Remind me, Lord. Remind me where I came from. Remind me of what was in my heart. Remind me of the blackness." And He does that from time to time because He lets a little of it come out once in a while. He just lets us. I think it's God's grace that once in a while He just leaves some of the land uncleared, like it talked about in the Old Testament, that they had to go ahead and continue to take on more land as they could handle it. And God leaves some things in our lives or lets us have some things back once in a while to show us you've still got some of that in you. That's a mercy and grace of God, I think, that He shows us our frailness once in a while. Remind me, Lord, what You brought me from. I am so thankful that the grace and forgiveness and mercy of God, when I look back at the life that I lived before I began following Christ, it's almost like it was somebody else. It's almost like it was a dream. It's there, but it's who I was. It's not who I am. And that's a blessing. But sometimes it gets so far away that I forget. And I begin to get a little bit lifted up and get a little proud of who I am. That I'm righteous. And God lets us see sometimes what we are, and that is merciful. It's God's grace that has brought us to where we're at. It's God's grace that has brought you to where you're at. And if you think you're doing it on your own, you are sadly mistaken. Because it's not you. You are responsible for your choices and you're responsible for your actions. You make those choices. But for you to be a disciple of Christ is by His grace. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. There's no need to go running off in all kinds of different theologies that we're elected and can't have any say-so in it, because we do have a say-so in it. And everyone knows that they have a say-so in what happens in their life. It takes a fool to believe that they don't make their own decisions in their life. And if you convince yourself through theology that God's just doing everything in you, you're crazy. Because you do make those decisions. And that is your responsibility. But don't be proud because you make a right choice. All you had to do was make a choice. It's God's mercy and grace that gave you the opportunity to even make that choice to live that way. God has not chosen, you have not chosen Christ. He has chosen you. That is a place of privilege that we should humble ourselves under and accept and become a servant We are not created to be kings in this world. We're men and women and young people and children. We are created to have the attitude of being a humble servant to our Lord and Master. We're not to exalt ourselves above others. We're a servant of the Lord. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, whenever the police would get a hold of them or somebody starts, "I'm a preacher. What are you doing? What are you doing bothering me? I'm a preacher." Getting all proud because they're a preacher and think that everybody ought to just step out of their way like they're some kind of celebrity. That is against God. That is not the way Jesus handled things. Jesus didn't use being the Son of God so that He could get His way and do wrong. Christianity is something that's lived out. I want to get to looking at some ways that we can see pride. You know, one of the things that is so dangerous about a church is the next generation. That's where the church falls, is usually in the second or third generation. The first generation, people have to choose. People have to fight and make decisions and get rejected by family and have to stand up and get rejected by denominations and churches. And they have to stand up to follow Jesus. And they have to fight their way through by God's grace. And then they start raising their children. And their children grow up without much of that fight, without much of that struggle. They might have saw their dad go through it, so they understand a little about it. But they grow up being taught what is right. That's this verse. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit of there is circumcision? People that are brought up knowing and learning what to do that's right is a great blessing. But so many times, without that struggle and without that fight, the children just already know that they're right. That the children can just live real lives. They don't have to look on a life and see that sinfulness that's back there. Sometimes they've been protected from all of that. And that's a blessing that they can be. But there's a big snare ahead. That snare is pride. Because you haven't failed very much, because you haven't been in sin, the tendency is to think that I'm all right. I don't do those things like everybody else. I'm not a part of those bad churches. You have to come to the reality that the only reason you are what you are is because of the grace of God. I've thought before, why, Lord? Why was I brought up in a place where the Bible was respected? Why do I have a conscience? Why do I hear Your voice? And I just think I could have been brought up in the middle of a jungle somewhere and taught to worship a monkey. And it's a blessing that God has given us the foundation here to know what we know. But take that humbly, not full of pride. We'll just go through some things. And I want all of us to listen. We need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and walk with God. And that's all we have to do. We've got to be able to listen to instructions. So many times, pride thinks that everyone needs to know your two sins. Pride sometimes has to make sure that everyone knows what you're thinking or what your thoughts of the matter are. That's pride. Doesn't mean you don't share some concerns or don't mean you don't have something to say sometime. But if you feel like everybody just has to know what your opinion of the matter is, something wrong there. It's a little out of order. Haughty look. Just looking at everybody and thinking, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm not, I'm a Christian. I'm glad, I'm thankful that I'm not like him. I'm thankful I'm not like her. That's what the Pharisee did. He looked around and he saw some bad people, no doubt. And they were. But pride's just as bad as any sin in the book. And it'll keep you away from God quicker than most. An argumentative spirit, just trying to argue all the time. Just having to have the doctrines all figured out. Just having to study and look and understand and read and know. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Puffeth up is pride. God loves someone that walks humbly with their God. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know everything. God wants us to walk and be faithful. Disrespectful. That's another sign of pride. Not respecting. One of the things I did really stood out to me one time whenever I first got around the Mennonites. Is that we were helping someone move. I think they were maybe even helping us. And we just had offered them a snack or something. And the young men, they wouldn't even take it. They said, well, wait a minute. We need to ask one of the elders here. So they went to the oldest man there. Said, what should we do? And he thought it'd be all right. Well, I just appreciated that respect that those younger people had for the older people. Don't know that it's always that way anymore. But that's one thing that really stood out to me. I really appreciate young people respecting people that are older than they are. Or young people respecting somebody that might even be younger but wiser than they are. That is a blessing to see that. Just a respect. Just to humble yourself and be under someone. I appreciate when people come here and they just want to humble themselves and learn. They just want to come and just be a part and be a part of the brothers. They're not trying to correct everything and teach everybody. They respect their elders. They respect the parents. Children, I appreciate when the children respect their parents. And not only their parents, but they respect all the parents, all the older people. Sometimes when children, and they're all children, sometimes when they get a little rowdy, any older person in the church ought to be able to quiet those children down and those children ought to listen. And if that bothers you, that someone else has to correct your children, you're full of pride. If someone says something about your children and the first thing you do is start to defend them, That's pride. You better check the situation out. Our children ought to be able to be taught respect, to respect their elders, to respect those that are in a little bit of authority over them. And if you can't take a little correction or criticism from someone in authority, there's pride there. We need to learn that when I get corrected and it hurts my pride, one thing I have learned is that no matter how hard your pride gets hurt or how bad your pride gets hurt, the sad thing is it usually heals up just fine. Pride heals real well. But if you'll let it hurt you and humble you, then you can fix it. We don't want to heal pride. We want it repented of. We want it fixed. And it hurts sometimes to get it fixed. Wives, sometimes what your husband says may just grate you like crazy. He don't really know. You know what needs to be done, and he don't see it. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Children, boys, you know, there's a pretty good age there that boys get to thinking that they know everything. They just get to thinking that they're smarter than everybody. They got it all figured out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just right off the bat, you're not near as smart as you think you are. There's some people used to be a saying that I wish I could buy that person for what he was worth and sell him for what he thought he was worth. I'd make a fortune. And a lot of times, young men get to thinking their opinion's pretty valuable. That nobody else knows what they're talking about. That is pure pride. And you can put religion, you can put all kinds of stuff on it, a real holy-looking life all about it, a real clean, pure life right with it. But if there's pride there, it's just as ugly as fornication. It's just as ugly as doing drugs. In fact, the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft's dabbling in drugs and dabbling in potions. Same thing as rebellion. A lot of those things that we just get exalted and we exalt ourselves because we're living right and because we're doing right. We don't do those bad things. We hardly ever make a mistake. Well, you're living in one. If you're full of pride. And you may think it's covered up, but I'll guarantee you everybody around you sees your pride. Pride is not a hidden sin. Everybody sees it. Being critical, sometimes even being bold, is just nothing more than pride. Finding fault to exalt yourself is pride. Let's turn to Proverbs. I'm going to just read a few of these. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. A lot of times we don't have any problem hating evil. We just hate that evil. That's bad. We see what it does and we hate it. We don't want nothing to do with it. We want to protect ourselves from it. But then it says pride. And arrogancy. And the evil way. And the forward mouth. Do I hate. Is it forward or froward? Froward. I think it means pretty much the same thing. I think we could take it for that. What?
The wicked mouth.
Okay. Do I hate? Not only does he hate the evil way, he hates pride, arrogancy, evil way, and the froward mouth. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. You know, if someone says something to you and it stirs up something in you, only by pride cometh contention. If you get upset about someone something says or corrects about you, where does that come from? It's pride that's behind all of that. Someone says something about your children. Someone says something about you, your family. You get all up contentious about it. You know, being non-resistant goes all the way through. If what they're saying is true, fix it. Usually where there's a little contention, it's because it was something, a little truth to it. So fix it. That's wisdom. And if there's nothing to it, after you examine yourself, bless them. And go right on. It didn't hurt you anyway. God knows the truth. And if there's nothing there, it doesn't matter what kind of slander they bring up against you. God still knows the truth. The only thing it's hurt is our pride that someone would think something bad of me. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be cast away. But by God's grace, He has given me an opportunity to repent and change the way I live and start doing what's right and humbly walk before Him. It's someone says something about us or reproves us, believe it until you prove it to otherwise. Examine yourself. God has used donkeys to speak to people in the Bible to get their attention. He's spoke through burning bushes. He can speak through the biggest knucklehead there is in the church to you. And if you're full of pride, you won't hear it. But if you have some wisdom, you'll take heed. You'll examine yourselves. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Rod of pride, pretty easy to go beating everybody up with your lips. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. All right. First John chapter 2, verse 16. That is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. Look at those things that are not of the Father, and weed them out of your life. If you don't weed them out, they just grow and grow and grow. A wise man heareth reproof. Most people, when they're trying to bring something to your attention, are doing it because they care for you. And even if they don't, listen to it. Some of them are just doing it out of pride. But if they're bringing a legitimate argument, listen to it. Contention. The contention that we feel comes from pride. It's not what people do to you. It's how you respond. Jesus said, "Buy of me gold tried in the fire." You know, to have gold, there's going to have to be some pure gold. There's going to have to be some heat. There's going to have to be some conflict. There's going to have to be some wrongs done to you. And what brings the gold is how you respond to those wrongs. When they are wrong, the wisdom will shine out. The pride will just get mad. Buy of Him gold tried in the fire. Those troubles that He sends, those people that are problems to you, buy some gold. Just buy some gold. Let it try you. Let Him bring all that stuff that don't belong out so that you can see it and fix it. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone have anything you want to share? Job, like Brian brought out, he was trying to do something. He wanted to be a righteous, godly man. His friends wanted to watch and criticize. And in the end, God lifted up Job and He brought his friends down. Anybody can sit on the sidelines and criticize. Anybody can be an armchair referee or a grandstand referee and make all the right calls. But getting out in the field, taking up the battle, you're in a war. And you're going to make some mistakes. And you're going to get beat up. You're going to have some hurts. But just get right back up and keep on fighting. Pride needs to be put down. Most people don't want to do things because of pride. A lot of times people pretend that they're a little bashful and they don't want to say something, or they don't want a position that somebody offers them, and they put on this false humility because they don't want to fail. They don't want to be tested. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want other people to hear them sing off key, so they don't sing very loud. They don't want to say something because somebody else might say it wrong. A humble man or woman just takes the responsibility that's given to them and just does it. Just does what they're supposed to do. Even if they do make a mistake once in a while. Even if they do fall down. Even if they do blow it. That's how you buy gold. You humble yourself. All right. Father, we come before You this morning again. We just thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us buy gold. Try it in the fire, Lord, that we might be pure, Lord. Thank You for the time remaining, Lord, that we could purify ourselves more and more until that day, that You might find a spotless bride, Lord. Lord, we're just thankful for Your grace again. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else have anything? Here at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. Just want to be here. Who's doing it? Okay. All right. Well, God bless y'all.